So now it's 2018. 18 years into this new millennium thing. I remember like yesterday, it was just turning 2000. We were all excited. We had those New Year's glasses that had the two and the three zeros after it for your eyes. It was very well designed, by the way. Now we're 18 years into it. And everybody, because they had such a tumultuous, horrible year, both politically and in their personal lives, which kind of match up stress-wise, and oh boy, 2018 is coming, the start of a brand new fresh year, calendar superficially, but yet psychologically the start of a brand new year. And then January 1st comes along, and okay, January 1st, you write that off because nothing happens on January 1st. People have hangovers, they're sitting at home watching football or eating food or just resting, taking the tree down. I'm not talking about the tree outside your house. I'm talking about the Christmas tree inside. If you had Christmas, taking your Hanukkah down, taking your menorah down, which takes forever, forever. So nothing happens January 1st. And January 2nd comes. It's your first day back at work, back at school, interacting. It's somewhat of a normal day. And you go, boy, it's 2018. I'm motivated. I'm going to make this year the most effective, wonderful year ever. And then you go through your Tuesday, January 2nd, and you get home and you say to yourself, oh my God, that sucked.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Did not work out.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. No. Things can get a bit weird.
Didn't work out.
If you like that sort of thing.
First day of 2018 didn't
Whatever.
Work out.
Whatever.
Did not work out. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's our Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ron Van Dam. Can you hear in my voice there's still a little bit of a cold going on? That's another thing. I had a cold during the weekend in 2017, and now it's 2018, and I still have the cold. So nothing's changed. And I sat in my house yesterday on a Tuesday, the first full day of 2018, work-wise, and nothing changed. No, the furniture was still in the same place. Watched the same TV shows, said the same thing to my cat. I don't even have a cat. That's how bad that was. I have a dog, and I called my dog a cat. That's how bad I am. Couldn't find my glasses because I don't wear them. Well, I do have glasses for reading, but I don't read, so what the hell? Why would I need? But I needed them to read a recipe that I was going to try, which didn't turn out real well necessarily. Couldn't find my glasses. Then I got into a thing, oh my God, it's 2018, I'm a year older. Well, not technically, no. It's not that it turns into January 1st and all of a sudden you're a year older. No, it doesn't work like that. But in our stupid little human minds, that's the way we deal with things. So I thought, oh my goodness, I'm a year older. Am I going to turn grayer or gray or blue or what? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to start getting arthritis? Am I going to start falling down and not being able to get up and be a part of that stupid television commercial all of a sudden with the Life Alert? Don't ever get me a life alert. I'll be hitting that button every day. Speaking of buttons, oh my God. Hey, what's going on with my mind? I'm going a little too fast. Ron, calm down. Here's a funny thing. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink caffeinated coffee. Couldn't even say that line properly. I've never taken speed or anything like that, and yet my mind is like boom, 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 boom. Donald Trump overnight tweeted 16-plus times. The man was on a tweet tirade. He is definitely mentally ill. And he didn't turn mentally ill when he became president. He's always been mentally ill. That's what people don't understand. He's always been mentally ill. He's always had disorders. He's always been a schmuck and an asshole. So let's get that straight, first of all. That's what you voted into office, because it was a lesser of two evils? No, it looks like that's not true. Could have been the equal of two evils, perhaps.
Perhaps so.
As I wipe my nose. Anyway, one of the tweets is a bit concerning. Just out of thin air. Actually, Kim Jong-un Il, or whatever his name is there from North Korea, is actually participating in talks with South Korea. They're going to have the Olympics next month. What a great place to have it, right near North Korea. Good choice. But they're actually talking to two countries who are mortal enemies on the border, are actually talking to make things nice and smooth. And in the midst of that, Donald Trump tweets the following. Oh, man, what a schmuck. That's not what he tweeted. That's what I just said as a result. He tweeted, he said, well, actually, Kim, the North Korea dictator, had said that the United States doesn't know, but I have a nuclear button on my desk, thus saying he could press it at any time he wished. Donald Trump retorted in this tweet overnight saying, maybe you have a nuclear button on your desk, but so do I, says Donald Trump. So do I, and my button is bigger than yours. And mine actually works. Oh, that helps things along, Don. That helps things along really well. You schoolyard bully idiot. You mindless fuck. I mean, seriously, we're not playing Pong beer games here. We're dealing with nuclear weapons, babe. Don't play with that. Don't play with that stuff. Taking a drink of water. What a schmuck and a half he is. Actually tweeting that his button's bigger than yours. What's with this Trump bigger? Mine is bigger than yours. I had a bigger crowd at my inauguration than ever before. My hands are bigger than yours. My everything is bigger than yours. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? Don't play schoolyard bully with my life, my friend. You know what scares me more than Kim having a button on his desk in North Korea? It's Donald Trump having a button on his desk in Washington. That scares me even more. Donald says we have a bigger nuclear arsenal than you do, North Korea. What the hell difference does that make? Do either of you understand, especially you, Don, do you understand that only it just takes a few of those babies to wipe everything out? You don't need hundreds and thousands of nuclear warheads and saying we have more nuclear warheads than you, therefore we win. No, you stupid idiot. Are you serious? Or can you actually be that stupid? Is it possible? I think it is. Oh, I've got to put oil on this chair. Listen to this. Can you hear this? All right, now it's not making noise. Fine. All right, now embarrass me. All right. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. How are you? Mine's bigger than yours, by the way.
The three sweetest words in podcasting?
Ron Van Dam. Wow. Gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
All right. In the Northeast, where I reside, a major snowstorm is approaching. And that means that all day Thursday, it'll be snowing like, oh, what's the weather term for it? Snowing like a bastard. That's the weather term. The Boston area could get up to a foot and a half of snow, 18 inches of snow. That's more inches than you have. Uh-huh, I win. But more commonly believed, about a foot of snow. That's a lot of freaking snow. I don't need that much snow. That doesn't do me any good at all. It's more snow to clear. It's more money I spend on having my driveway plowed. I spent most of my life shoveling. I've always lived in the Northeast. I've lived in some of the coldest, snowiest places in the Northeast. I lived in Rochester, New York for 2.5 years. 160 inches of snow. That's right, 160 inches of snow. You pile that up and you're dead. I shoveled, I had quite a long driveway. A cheap house, but a long driveway. I shoveled at least 3 times a week, that entire driveway. I shoveled and I shoveled and I shoveled in freezing cold temperatures and 10, 15 degree temperatures. Shoveled, 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 shoveled. And every time a plow would go down the street, I'd have to shovel again. I'd have to shovel out that little ridge of snow wall ice that would be created at the top of my driveway. The shovel, 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 shovel. 2.5 years of that. Even during August, it seemed like. Rochester had only 2.5 months where it didn't snow. I swear it's true. I swear it's true. And when it didn't snow, it was just like an ice skating rink. It was the roads would just ice over. They had great snow removal, but on the major roads, but I had to shovel my driveway. Then I moved into a house in the Boston area, lived there for a while, shovel, 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 no garage, all the cars were always out there, and had to get the snow off the cars, and then shovel, 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 shovel. Now, the past 5, 6 years, I finally got around to, I finally could afford someone to plow my driveway. And that was a godsend. Thank you, God, for sending a snowplow to my humble but cherished life. But snow plowing is not free in your driveway. You have to pay for that. I pay $65 every time the guy with the snowplow shows up. And then it snows more and he comes by again, it's another $65. And then it snows more and he comes by again, it's another $65. I can spend over $180, nearly $200 per snowstorm just to get the snow off my driveway. I know, I know. And I tell this story every single year because it's worth telling all the time. So here's what I did. When it snowed outside, I was brought up in Teaneck, New Jersey. When it snowed outside, I was about, 10 years old, maybe 11 or 12. I would grab a shovel from inside my garage, or in my father's garage. It was not my garage. And I would walk throughout the neighborhood and shovel the driveways of neighbors. And Teaneck was a very rich community, but I don't remember any snow plows. I just remember kids putting on their snow suits and their hats and their parkas and walking around the neighborhood with shovels, knocking on the front door and saying, "Do you want your driveway shoveled?" I did that. Because when I was growing up, we had responsibility. We worked. We helped our fellow man and our fellow women's too. In the coldest of conditions, we braved those coldest conditions with a snow shovel and we'd be out there for hours shoveling other people's driveways. For money, don't get me wrong, for money. But that was like the start of a child business for me in the snowy conditions. It taught me business, it taught me responsibility, it taught me respect. It taught me everything I needed to know to be a complete failure when I became an adult. But we worked hard. And when we were finished shoveling the driveway, I remember walking up to the front door of that house and saying, I've completed the task. And the owner of the house would peek their little head out of the door and say, my God, that was a wonderful job. My driveway looks wonderful. That little smile on their face was almost enough for me, but the cash was even better. They would dig into their pockets and pull out a $10 bill, sometimes a $20 bill, and back then, that was a lot of money. That was like $5,000. And I would always say, do you want change? And they would say, no. The only change I want is for the world to be a better place, where people like you, Ron, go out and shovel driveways. And that's what I did as a child, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I did as a child. Am I a better person today? No, I'm worse. But it did give me a foundation of respect, which I think I do have. So my message to you, kids of all ages, next time it snows in your area, grab a shovel. Go to your neighbors and offer to shovel their walk, their driveway, shovel out their mailbox, something. I guarantee you they will pay you and they will respect you. Because the only response to something like that is, aren't they good kids? They've learned well. Those are kids. Those are kid and a half. Those are real kids. Not just some kids. Those are kids. Real kids. Kids who are real kids. Kid kids. The kind of kids I want my kids to be. Thank you, Purple Planet.
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
Welcome back to the program. You know, I often say to myself in my sleep, I wonder what the cars of 2018 will be offering. I do say that. I say it constantly. That's one of my problems. And the answer to that is not far away, because Mika from the Kelley Blue Book people, they know their cars. What are the best cars of 2018? Huh?
Ron Van Dam, are you there?
I am here, Mike Amuzio. How are you?
I'm doing really good. You've got one of those. You've got a classic radio voice.
Well, thank you so much. You've got a classic Kelly Blue Book voice.
I sure do. Kind of nasally, but I'm friendly.
Well, that's not what I didn't say anything about nasally.
I know what I am. It's okay.
Mike is the Kelly Blue Book managing editor, and we're going to talk about the results of the best car purchases of 2018, according to Kelly Blue Book, which is the Bible of cars. And how often does this come out? Is it an annual situation?
It is an annual situation, yes. Reading from the Good Book of Blue Book.
There you go.
We've got our 2018 Kelly Blue Book Best Buys, and this is our premier award program. Every single year, we drive virtually every vehicle on the market, and we do a series of comparison tests, and then from that, we pull in what we think are going to be the best vehicle values, and we do 6 weeks of testing, and from there, we identify 12 excellent vehicle values in 12 different categories, along with an overall winner, and that becomes the Kelly Blue Book Best Buys, in this case, for 2018. Ooh. And, man, it's a lot of work, but it's what we do, and what that gives us is a great place to, you know, help people start their car buying journey. So, okay. You know, let's say, you know, you're looking for a mid-sized sedan.
Yep.
Our winner, the Honda Accord, is a pretty good place to start your journey. Right. Maybe it's not going to be the perfect vehicle for you, but it's going to be a great vehicle for an awful large portion of the population.
Okay. So sometimes, I mean, before we reveal some of these winners here, sometimes the choices for the best cars aren't necessarily the best-selling cars.
Yeah. I mean, oftentimes they are, but really what we want to highlight are vehicles that, well, you look at both subjective and objective data. So as vehicle evaluators, we think about vehicles that you'd actually want to own. So oftentimes the car that's the least expensive isn't necessarily the best value.
Right.
You know, if you're buying a car that costs very little money, but you hate driving it, have you done yourself any favors? No. But all the vehicles on our list are cars that we really, really like, that are great to drive, but they also have excellent value. That's one of the great things about Kelly Blue Book is that we've got all this objective data. So we've got 5-year cost to own figures, resale values. You know, we pull in all that information, you know, repairs and insurance costs, and we incorporate that, and that kind of is the special sauce that makes this list so helpful. So, for example, if you have two excellent sedans, and you know, one of them at the end of a 5-year ownership period, when you trade it in, you can get $3,000 more on that trade-in, that's going to help it become a Kelly Blue Book Best Buy.
Oh, at that time, when it's trade-in time, that's definitely that's the major consideration. So there's no question.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
people never think about the resale values, but that is like the single biggest cost that you have to consider when you buy a new vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you've just spent, you know, $50,000 on a large SUV, you know, at the end of that ownership period, you're going to wind up trading that vehicle in. And there is a big difference between vehicles as to how much money you can expect to get back.
No, at the time when you're going to give the car up, nothing matters more than the value, the trade-in value.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the top. And what was the pick for the Best Buy overall?
Yeah, our overall winner for 2018 is the 2018 Honda Accord.
Oh, it is a Honda Accord.
It is a Honda Accord. Yeah, I kind of messed that up by talking about it early.
Right.
But you just can't say enough good things about the Honda Accord.
Interesting.
In fact, I mean, I really wish that we could kind of do this in person because a lot of the things that make the Honda Accord so great are really experiential. But it's a mid-size sedan, and yet when you sit in the back seat, it feels like a full-size. It's just voluminous. It's roomy enough. I get to use words like voluminous, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it's spacious, and then like little touches from an ergonomic standpoint. You know, from the driver's seat, you can dial in the perfect driving position. And they've done clever little things like the text on the buttons that are further away from you is larger.
Oh, interesting.
And it's just like, oh, of course, that makes perfect sense.
Interesting.
And then you know, very efficient standard engine. It's a 1.5-liter turbocharged engine. Mm-hmm. And up to 38 miles per gallon on the freeway, which is outrageous for
that's
mid-sized
really good.
Sedan.
That's really
and they also
good.
have a 252 horsepower 2-liter And that thing is just playing quick. It's really good. Mm. Oh, and the other thing, thinking about value, you know, for about $24,500 at the base price, they've included their Honda Sensing active driver aids, you know, across the board. So that Honda Sensing package includes things like lane keeping assist. Where, okay, so have you ever been driving and then been slightly inattentive and departed your lane?
Yes.
So wouldn't it be nice if the vehicle steered itself back into its lane? That's what the Honda Accord can do. And every single Honda Accord, even the cheapest one, has that technology built in.
Wow. You know, it's funny. There was a time where it was not a good thing to sleep in your car. Now it's probably really better than a hotel room.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a luxurious interior, and the car's driving.
Oh, man.
Basically doing the driving for you. So.
Go on.
Well, go ahead. I was just going to say that that it not only will it keep itself in its lane, but it'll also maintain pace with the vehicle ahead of you with its dynamic cruise control.
Wow.
Again, standard feature. So, you know, if you're just, you know, doing some long stint on the freeway, the car does a lot of the work for you. It's pretty incredible.
Very good. Okay, let's. What kind of, what major vehicles made a great showing in other categories?
Yeah, so, you know, if you have maybe more luxurious taste, you sound like a classy guy who might appreciate a luxury SUV.
I have one.
Wait. Yeah. I feel like there's a story there. What are you driving?
Well, it's a Lincoln MKX, and the problem is that it's mileage-wise, it's horrible, but it's extremely comfortable. It's like getting a really nice coffin when all you really need is a coffin.
That's a really funny way to put it. Okay, so I might have a solution for you. So our selection for luxury SUV this year is the Audi Q5. Mm-hmm. And it's a neat choice because great performance. It's got 252 horsepower from its 2-liter turbocharged engine. Mm-hmm. But because it's turbocharged and direct injected, it's actually quite efficient.
Yeah.
27 miles per gallon on the freeway, which in the luxury SUV space is really quite
good,
especially for an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Yep.
So all-wheel drive. And all that power, 7-speed dual clutch transmission. It's a blast to drive for a luxury SUV. Very comfortable, but again, it addresses that efficiency issue.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of stuff we think about. Like, okay, you know, what's the overall cost, and how does that relate to, you know, the vehicle? So
absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's funny. The most comfortable seat in my life is not in my house. It's not in my living room. It's not my bed. It's the driver's seat in my car, and that is perfectly designed to my back. I don't know how that happens.
Well, and that's the thing, is that so maybe if you were to get into this Audi Q5, it would somehow exceed that, or maybe it wouldn't, but we really want to just give people a good jumping-off point.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really car buying is a journey, and we want to just help people kind of, you know, find their journey.
Well, that's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm a lay person, not that it's been a while, though, Kelley Blue Book is important two things for me. One is if I'm buying a car, leasing a car, getting into a new car, I must go into the Bible and see what the suggestions are. I need to compare from a, not from the dealership, but from Kelley Blue Book, which is, you know, impartial. And the other is what we discussed: when I'm getting rid of my car in order to get something else, I need to know that trade-in value. So those two things alone make it so important. How do I get more information about all of this and get an idea of what cars won these categories?
Yeah, you know, if you head over to Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com, that's our website, and everything you need to know, all that pricing data, all that research, a complete list of all of our best buys of 2018 can be found over there, and that's a really great jumping-off point. So you go to the dealership informed and ready to negotiate, and
that's exactly
what you want.
That's it. Don't do anything of major circumstance without knowing your stuff. That's the deal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the glory of being in the modern era is that you can prepare yourself and go. Yeah, arrive at the dealership, a knowledgeable consumer.
Yeah, funny thing is, Kelley Blue Book was around before the internet, and it still is like it's still the Bible. You don't even need the internet when it comes to this, but of course you can find them on the internet as well. Thank you so much for your time today. Always educational and a pleasure. Thank you, Micah.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me. I always love talking about cars with you.
Great. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's enough. Well, I've got to go out and buy 20 bottles of water just in case I lose power from the snowstorm that's appearing tomorrow. I do plan to be with you again tomorrow with our snowstorm special. This is so pathetic, I can't believe it. What kind of life is this? What kind of life are you leading, Ron? What kind of life is this, actually? What kind of life is this? 2018, off to a great start. Off to a great start. I have a cold. My throat is tickling. I'm losing things. A lousy day yesterday. Snowstorm tomorrow. Temperature's still like 5 degrees is a high. I mean, like, welcome to 2018. The President of the United States tweeting that his button is bigger than yours and his actually works. I mean, seriously, man. I'm living amongst children. And yet, well, maybe things will be better soon. Ladies and gentlemen, I sure do wish you peace. You know, it's kind of funny in a way. I did go out yesterday into the world, which I usually don't do. And everybody I talked to was sick over the weekend, and a lot of people had the flu, you know? It's like, wow, half of America was sick over the weekend. Now I don't feel so bad. It wasn't just me. Like, the world targeted me, and I was the only one that got sick. Thanks for your many cards and letters, by the way.